Blog Talk Radio.
Truth is a fine line. Deeper truth is an even finer line. When we decided to call ourselves Deeper Truth, we knew the obligations that name would put upon us. We wanted our readers and listeners to be always confident. Whenever you tuned into a program with a Deeper Truth logo, that is exactly what you got. Deeper Truth. From Journey with Mary with John Carpenter on Sundays to the Eucharistic Miracles with Dr. Gregory Thompson on Mondays, you learned you were never alone, that heaven is only a prayer away. It is a sacred obligation week after week to bring you not just the truth, but the deeper truth. And that is why
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Johnny Cash came out with I Walk the Line in 1956, and I was born in 1956, and I can say that I've been following the line, walking the line ever since, thanks to my mother and our Holy Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
From man's earliest days, he has looked to the heavens for a being superior to himself. In the earliest annals of history, we find the results of his search. Zeus, chief of the gods of ancient Greece, who ruled by thunderbolt. Mars, the Roman god of war. Apollo, Thor, and other gods and goddesses that you'd better not cross if you know what's good for you. Then, gradually, from a single nation, emerges a god unlike any of the others that man had crafted for himself. This god didn't rule over man with an iron hand, but with a tender, sacred heart. He held out his hand in love to his creation, going so far as to sacrifice himself in atonement for the sins of mankind. The Greeks even had a name for him. They called this god the Unknown God, and even erected a temple to him. Years later, St. Paul would formally introduce him. And that is exactly why the Catholic Defender is here. Your host represents an unbroken line of succession to the apostles of the one called Jesus, the only one whose mercy and compassion overflows any container that tries to contain it. This is a God you really want to meet. We're here to make the introduction. This God is a God of judgment. However, first and foremost, he is a God of mercy and compassion. He won't turn you away. He holds out his hand in divine mercy to you and everyone. He loves you as you are, but he also loves you too much to let you stay that way. He'll forgive your sin, not condone it. So what are we waiting for? Let's meet your host, Donald Hartley, the Catholic Defender, one with answers to your most pressing questions. Now, here's Don Hartley.
The 15 promises Our Lady gave for the rosary, and we're doing the sixth promise. Whoever shall recite the rosary devoutly, applying himself to the consideration of its sacred mysteries, shall never be conquered by misfortune. God will not chastise him in his justice. He shall not perish by an unprovided death. If he be just, he shall remain in the grace of God and become worthy of eternal life. This promise is special because it shows that the person dedicated to the rosary and has a good grasp of the gospel message will be strong in faith. Romans 8:37-39 states, "No, in all these things we conquer overwhelmingly through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor present things, nor future things, nor powers, nor height, or depth, nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." We are going to be challenged, that is for sure. We are all in a spiritual war for the battle of souls. 1 Peter 5:8-9 states, "Be sober and vigilant. Your opponent, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, searching, looking for someone to devour. Resist him steadfast in faith, knowing that your fellow believers throughout the world undergo the same sufferings." And ain't this the truth? Jesus established the Catholic faith to win souls for heaven. We are victorious when we follow the teachings of the Catholic faith, the true Word of God. The faithful Catholic will apply themselves to the sacred mysteries. The sacraments is the way of life without compromise. Ephesians 3:1-6 states, "Because of this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if, as I suppose, you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for your benefit, namely, that the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly earlier. When you read this, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to human beings in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body, and co-partners in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. This is why Catholics place much loyalty to the Catholic clergy. St. Paul was made an apostle by Christ for the people of God. He was made an apostle for our benefit. Every ordained Catholic clergy, bishop, priest, deacon, are anointed through the power given them in their ordinations. 1 Timothy chapter 4, 12-16 states, "Let no one have contempt for your youth, but set an example for those who believe in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. Until I arrive, attend to the reading, exhortation, and teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was conferred on you through the prophetic word, with the imposition of hands of the presbyteriate. Be diligent in these matters. Be absorbed in them, so that your progress may be evident to everyone. Attend to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in both tasks, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and those who listen to you." Notice St. Paul's word to St. Timothy that persevering in his preaching and teaching, he would save himself and his listeners. This is a major reason we pray for our priests, because of their obligation to serve the people. How horrible and scandalous it is when a priest abuses his people. A heavy judgment awaits such a person. The Lord is clear about our need to have his clergy, that he has made priests for his kingdom. Revelation chapter 5, 9-10 states, "Worthy are you, receive the scroll, and to break open its seals. For you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God those from every tribe and tongue, people and nation. You made them a kingdom and priests for our God, and they will reign on earth." Elsewhere, Jesus states even more, much more clearly about his clergy. Jesus says, "Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. And whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The rosary is a powerful weapon to fight the battle of life. Our personal devotion and commitment to growing in our Catholic faith, as our society is becoming more secular and hostile to religion, more paganist, we are being challenged like never before. We cannot separate our faith from the church Jesus personally founded for our benefit. To be a conqueror in Christ, we must be faithful to him and his holy church. By our faithfulness to Christ, by faithfulness to Jesus, we will receive our just reward and escape his divine justice. We will be prepared as on a pilgrimage in a strange land for death, and through God's grace will be made worthy of eternal life. An act of faith. Oh my God, I firmly believe that you are one God in three divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I believe that your divine Son became man and died for our sins, and that he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe these and all the truths which the Catholic Church, the Holy Catholic Church, teaches, because you have revealed them, who are eternal truth and wisdom, who can neither deceive nor be deceived. In this faith, I intend to live and die. Amen. And amen to that again. The angel's prayer, the angel of Portugal. O most holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I adore you profoundly. I offer you the most precious blood, the most precious body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, present in all the tabernacles, of the world. In reparation for the outrages, sacrileges, and indifference by which he is offended, by the infinite merits of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I beg the conversion of poor sinners. And ladies and gentlemen, that is why it's so important for us to be strong in our holy Catholic faith, to never lose sight of his presence. And we should pray the rosary to pray the rosary for the conversion of sinners. And so we want to lift him up.
Thank you. night of August 20th, 1862, and Don Bosco told his boys of another dream. He found himself standing in a vast field. Vast. And off in the distance were dozens and dozens of boys. They were playing all sorts of games, many varieties of games, jumping, running, wrestling. A stranger approached him.
"Ooh, come with me, I wish to show you something."
Don Bosco was reluctant at first, but eventually he followed the man. The stranger took him to the edge of the field. There, tall grass all around.
"Look into the grass, see what is in there."
Don Bosco peered through the grass. He looked and saw an enormous, hideous snake. Must have been 20 feet in length. He pulled back. "What is this?" he said.
"Look closer. See what it is."
"No, you've got to be kidding. That thing could leap at me, devour me in an instant. I'm not going near it."
"Fine. Then wait here."
The stranger went off and got a rope. He brought the rope back and gave one end to Don Bosco.
"Hold this tightly with both hands. I'll take the other end. We'll stretch it over the snake. We'll snap it."
"At the snake? You're crazy. To do that, the thing could leap up and devour both of us."
"No, trust me. It won't harm us at all."
So Don Bosco did as he was asked. He took the rope and held it in both hands tightly, firmly planting his feet in the ground. The stranger then took the other end of the rope. He took that end of the rope and stretched it tightly over the back of the snake, holding it very firmly. And then he snapped it at the snake. Well, the snake immediately reacted, jumped up at the rope. It found itself entangled in the rope as if a noose had formed. And there it was, in that rope, writhing back and forth, flailing all around, trying to get free. And as it was doing this, it cut itself to pieces and lithered on the ground, dead. Well, by now, the boys had come from the field where they were playing, and they gathered around to watch what was going on. The stranger then said, "Watch what happens next." He took the rope from one end where he had tied it to a tree. He untied it, and then he took the other end of the rope from Don Bosco, and he rolled it up, and he put it in a box, and he closed the lid. And then he opened it and showed everybody who was there. They saw that the cord had formed the words, "Ave Maria, Hail Mary."
"Ah, what does this mean?" said Don Bosco. "Explain this to us."
"The snake," said the stranger, "represents the devil. The cord or the rope represents the Ave Maria, or the rosary. You see, when we pray the rosary, it's a powerful tool, a powerful weapon. With it, we can strike, conquer, and destroy all of hell's demons. It is powerful." By now, Don Bosco, nodding and agreeing and amazed by this, pleased that his boys had seen this fantastic example. Then, his heart broken as he turned and looked and saw the boys themselves were now picking up the snake meat from the ground, the poisonous snake meat, and they were eating it. And as each of them did, their bodies hardened up like stone and they fell to the ground. He turned to one of the boys. He grabbed him and shook him by the shoulders. "What are you doing? Why do you do this? You can't eat this. Look what it's doing to you all." The boy turned to him. "Because it tastes good, Father. It tastes good. It's delicious." Don Bosco, in a bit of a panic, turned to the other priests that were there with him. "Quick, do what you can. Do what you can to help these boys not eat this meat." But sadly, he noticed that some of the priests themselves, they too were eating the snake meat, and they too were hardening like stone and falling to the ground. "Why are they doing this? Why do they do this? Why are they eating this snake meat when it's poisonous and they see what's happening to them?" The stranger replied, "Because the sensual man does not perceive the things that are of God. Sensual man does not perceive the things that are of God."
"Well, what can I do? What can I do to help them?"
"You must administer the anvil and the hammer."
"The anvil and the hammer? What am I? Am I to hit these boys with a hammer? Lay their bodies over an anvil and beat them? What do you mean by that?"
"No," he said. "Don't you understand? The anvil and the hammer represent the sacraments of confession, penance, and of Holy Communion. You must administer these sacraments to free them from the bonds, to break the chains that hold them."
Don Bosco did exactly that. He went to each of them as quickly as he could. He began to administer the sacraments of confession and Holy Communion, even to the priests. One by one, so many of them began to come back to life.
The stone-like figure they had fallen into became healthy flesh once again.
But some of them did not. These were the ones who made bad confessions. These were the ones who went to the sacrament of confession or to receive Holy Communion with hearts very far from God.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. And we want to dedicate the rosary for the needs of all. And we also encourage you to make the Mass the center of your life, to receive the Eucharist in a state of grace. Good day, everybody.